Coming up on iOS today, Rosemary and I were so happy with the responses we got for the first back to school episode that we've decided to continue forward, this time talking about books and learning. Stay tuned.
Podcasts you love
from people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is iOS Today with Rosemary Orchard and Micah Sargent, episode 666, recorded Tuesday, August 15th, 2023. Back to school, books, and learning. This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, you know it's hard to attract top talent. Team up with a hiring partner who understands how tough it is and knows what you need. ZipRecruiter. Go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/iOS. And by CashFly. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods and 30% faster than other major CDNs. Meet customer expectations 100% of the time and learn how you can get your first month free at CashFly.com. Welcome back to iOS Today, the show where we talk all things iOS, iPadOS, WatchOS, tvOS, HomePodOS. The list of OSs gets longer all the time, but this is the show where we try to help you make the most of those wonderful Apple devices you have by talking about the best ways to use the software running on those devices. We also talk about apps that we think you should get, gadgets we think would be great for you, and everything in between. This is iOS Today, and I am one of your hosts, Micah Sargent.
And I am Rosemary Orchard. And Micah, I love a good book. You could say I'm a bookworm. So, you know, maybe time to get back down to earth.
yes, it is. There are so many methods by which one can sort of consume knowledge. But honestly, I still to this day feel like one of the best ways to learn something new is through the use of a book, a good book on a specific subject. And I mean, it's a way to transport to a different world. It's a way to, live vicariously through other people. Books are great, you know, books are just great. And they can be helpful in terms of education and learning. And that, of course, comes with the built-in tools that are available right on your iPhone or your iPad with a little app called Books from Apple. And Books is, as you might imagine, the way that you can maintain a library of books and PDFs and other items on your device. So here I have pulled up the Books app on an iPad, and this is for that test account that I have. So you'll notice that the library is not chock full of content. Here you can get audiobooks, which is my preferred way of reading. You can find some free books that are on the store. So let's see, some new books include, some of these look like they might be romance novels. Let's just see what else is here. You can kind of, I like that they've got the first in a series books so that you kind of, is this one for me? Is this not for me? And then you can get it and decide if it is something that you want. And so I'm trying to find something that's not a romance novel.
Well, I can make a recommendation for you, Micah, of something that you can search for in the bookstore. If you search for AppleScript 123 by Cel Segoyan, that's there in the Apple Books store available to purchase and download. It's a great book if you want to learn some AppleScript.
Beautiful. So here's AppleScript 123. And yes, as Rosemary's pointed out, it's available to purchase for $28.99. You can add it to your want to read list, and you can also get a sample of the book so that it is, a way to kind of decide if this is something that you would be into. It says choose a theme, a page turn animation, and more to make each book perfect for you. So here I'm kind of swiping through the book and finding what is available in the sample here, which of course includes a foreword and a little bit of information. There we go. Instant Apple script. You get some information about it, and it has this lovely page turn animation, which you can decide if that's for you. Here you can go into themes and settings. You can choose the quiet theme, the paper theme, the calm theme, the bold theme, the focus theme. You can change between night mode or dark mode rather and light mode. You can decide whether you want to do a slide for your page turn animation, the curl, which makes it feel more like a book, or just have no page turn animation. And then you can choose if you want to have a two-page view in landscape mode, or if you want to have a one-page view, change the size of the text, and then I can pop back into the book and start reading it here. And this, I see, and this is now scrolling. So it essentially makes it one entire scrollable page versus that flip view, which is what I had before. So there we go back to that nice flip view. Now let me go back to the main page here, the home screen kind of the app, because on the side you can see the audiobook store where you can purchase and listen to audiobooks right here in the app. The bookstore, of course, contains those books. And then you have your library of contents. Now, what's great about this is this is where you can see, for example, the samples that you've downloaded, but it's also a place where you can store PDFs. So if you, for example, go to Apple's support pages and get the downloadable PDF for some of its products, there are still products that have product manuals that are PDFs that you can download. You can get those there. Audiobooks are here. Your books are here. Books that you've finished, books that you want to read if you've marked that. And then, of course, I've got that sample there. But yes, let's actually go to the Apple Store and type in the word manual and see, there we go, the iPhone user guide. So we can look at Apple and see what is available here. And we've got different iPhone user guides, iOS 14.7, iOS 10.3, the Swift programming language, the iPad user guide of different years, the user guide for the MacBook Pro. Let's try to find here's a good option, the Pages user guide. So I will get this, which will then download it, and I'll touch ID to get the book. And of course, this is available for free. And then it's going to download, and that should be stored in my books because I'm not just downloading a PDF. So now I can tap into this Pages user guide and learn all about Pages right here. It's got screenshots of how Pages looks, being able to choose a template, choosing styling options, making different changes to the layout of the page, adding galleries and setting up templates, basically everything you could need to know to use Pages on iPad. And then, of course, down at the bottom here, you can see a percentage showing that I have gone through 6% of this book. I have the option to remove it. I can add it to a special collection if I want, mark it as finished, rate and review it. And then also in the suggestions section, I can say, hey, this is something that I like, so please suggest more like this. So I can start to kind of learn what you're into and use that to inform what you might want to buy. So that is Apple Books, although I'm curious, Rosemary, if there's anything else you wanted to say about Apple Books.
Nothing in particular, other than that it's often the default place where PDFs open, which can be a little frustrating for some folks. And so, unfortunately, if you're dealing with that issue, the only way to fix that is to train your device by tapping and holding on a PDF and saying, open this in another app. I'm picking whatever app that is. But you should remember that on the books store, there are, just like Micah got the Pages user guide there, there are a lot of user guides for Apple software and hardware. So every year they release a new new iPhone user guide and a new iOS user guide and iPadOS user guide. And if you've got friends and family members who really like to go through and read all of the details about these things, then that could be a great place to point them, because that is a free resource provided by Apple. And it's the same as the one on their website. They just produce it into a nice little book for you so that you can read it either with that lovely page turn animation or just maybe with scrolling, whatever works best for you and your brain.
Beautiful. The next mention on the list is, as I mentioned, kind of my favorite way to read books, which is Audible. And, you know, before we get into it, and I should mention that Audible has long been a sponsor on the Twit Network. So we've had them as a sponsor in the past. But this is always a time where some folks will sort of ask about audiobooks as a form of reading. And this is where I always like to kind of explain something. For the vast majority of readers, the way that we read books or we read anything is, and you'll notice this in and of yourself, as you look at something and you read it, you are essentially hearing kind of a little voice in your head, right? That is reading the words. So you look at for example, I've got a book in front of me and it says, author of the number one New York Times bestseller, How to Do the Work. And if I'm reading in my head, not out loud, there's this sort of little voice in my head that is reading out these words. And due to the way that we learn to read in the first place and the way that kind of our brains and our bodies make this happen, a signal is sent down into the voice box, the larynx of in your throat. And it is actually getting signals when you're reading. So your larynx is essentially doing the reading as if you are reading out loud, but you're just doing it in your head. And that is why people who are speed readers have to train to bypass the larynx's sort of non-vocal reading. And that's the only way to make yourself read faster, because up to that point, you're essentially able to read as fast as your brain and your larynx can work together to make the reading possible. So, because the way that we read, whether we're reading a book or reading a sign or reading anything else, involves vocalization, but instead of sort of sub-vocalization, the parts of the brain that are activated, that are challenged in reading text versus hearing the text read to you, it's very similar. They are very similar. So if you have, you know, sort of an internal shame or an internal fear to share the fact that you listen to audiobooks instead of read books, worry not and feel comfortable knowing that whether you are reading to yourself or someone else is reading to you, many of the same parts of the brain are getting activated in either case, which is why Audible is also a great way to learn new things. There are lots of titles on Audible that are nonfiction titles. That, in fact, the book that I have on my Kindle here, How to Meet Yourself, is also a book that is available, or is a title that is available on Audible to listen to. And I go back and forth between the two. Sometimes I will be reading the book on the Kindle. Sometimes I'll be listening to the audiobook on Audible. And it's a great way to kind of, depending on what you're doing and where your focus is, be able to continue to consume new information, even if your hands and your eyes aren't free. So I very much appreciate the vast, massive library of content that Audible has. And I definitely make use of it. Rosemary, anything you'd like to say about Audible?
Well, something I would like to say is that with Audible, there's a feature that you get when you listen to audiobooks with it that you don't necessarily get with Apple Books, which is called Whisper Sync. So if you're somebody who sometimes you like to listen to books and sometimes you like to read books, and it kind of depends, maybe you don't like putting a book down until you're done with it. So you'll listen to the audiobook when you're driving or doing chores around the house or whatever it is. And then, you know, sometimes you just want to like sit down and pick up like, you know, an e-version, I would say physical version, but we're talking about a digital version here. Then Audible has Whisper Sync. So if you get the same book on Audible and you get it on the Kindle, then it can sync between the two. And that's just something that you don't really get in other places. So that is something worth considering with Audible books, because that's one of the reasons why I love it. If I have the ebook as well as the audiobook, then it goes between the two and I can just pick up one where I left off. And that's one of the reasons why I like having, I have both the Kindle and the Kobo app, Micah, which we're going to have to get to in a moment.
Indeed. Yes. I really like that feature too. And sometimes I will follow along. I'll just have the book, going kind of with the Audible audio going at the same time, just because that's how my brain is, best focusing at that moment. So, I love the integrations that, Audible has put together, between the two. It's fantastic. All right, let's see here. I think we should take a quick break before we come back with even more to help with books and learning on iOS. But I want to tell you about ZipRecruiter, who are bringing you this episode of iOS Today. If you're hiring, then you probably already know that it's incredibly hard to attract top talent. And with the current labor market conditions, it's even harder than ever. And that's why you want a partner who gets it. That partner is ZipRecruiter. See, ZipRecruiter knows how tough it is right now, but they have figured out solutions for the problems you're facing. You can see for yourself right now, you can try them for free. That's F-R-E-E, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/IOS. ZipRecruiter is ready to tackle your recruiting challenges. To reach more of the right people, ZipRecruiter posts your job to 100-plus job sites. So more than 100 job sites are going to see that post to let people know that you are looking to hire. And if you need to hire as soon as possible, well, ZipRecruiter's smart technology finds great matches for your job sooner. If you want first dibs on talent, well, I love this. ZipRecruiter lets you invite the most qualified people to apply to your job. I know I would be flattered if I got an invitation. Hey, we see your skills and we want you. Will you please apply? Yeah. ZipRecruiter's pricing is also very straightforward. There are no surprise costs to worry about. So team up with a hiring partner who understands what you need. That is ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. It's ZipRecruiter.com/IOS. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/IOS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thank you so much, ZipRecruiter, for sponsoring this week's episode of iOS Today. All right, we are back from the break, and that means it's time to talk about our next apps to help you with your learning at school, this time by way of Amazon's Kindle. Yes, there are Kindle devices, right? You can buy a specific e-ink device that will let you store your audio, or rather your books, and in some cases your audiobooks, and view them on the e-ink display. But what's great about Kindle is it is kind of a universal service or platform where you can read your books. So regardless of whether you're using a Kindle device or you're using your iPhone or your iPad, the Kindle is there on that device. So if you have books that you've purchased and you want to be able to read them on your iPad or your iPhone, just get the Kindle app. It's going to look very familiar to you if you've used a Kindle before, and it has a lot of the same features that you may have come to expect in the actual Kindle itself. So if I tap on one of the pages, you can kind of see here, this is the book. As you'll notice down at the bottom, we were just talking about this earlier. Rosemary and I were talking about how it will sync between your Audible audiobooks and your book itself. So if I wanted to, I could tap to download the Audible audiobook and it would kind of read through and sync with this page. Now, up in the top right, I've got the options that we saw in the Apple Books app. So I can choose between different typefaces like Amazon Ember, Baskerville, Bookerly, and Open Dyslexic, which is a typeface that is designed for people with dyslexia to be able to better read the you know, whatever text they're reading. You can change the brightness of the page. You can change layouts and themes. So for example, if I wanted to do a green background or a black background with white text or a kind of off-white background, I could do that. And then you can sort of change alignment and margins and columns and all sorts of stuff, change the themes to different compact, standard, large. You'll notice that I've got a custom theme rocking right now. And there are even more settings. I love that you can hide the clock so that you don't get distracted by the clock. You can turn on or off a page turn animation. I love a good page turn animation, so I'm going to keep that on. And then now you'll see that we can kind of flip back and forth between pages. And what I love about it is, check that out. There on the left is the text from the page in front, but it's backward now, as if the light is shining through the page a little bit because it's kind of a thin page. I just think that's really clever. I just think that's so clever, as you can kind of flip back and forth between the pages. So the Kindle app, it's just one way to get to all of the books that you have in your Kindle library. Some would argue that it is part of what kind of keeps you locked in to Amazon's Kindle and Audible content because of the way that it's all set up and works so well. But there are other options out there and you can buy from those libraries instead. And I have yet to find a title that's only available on one store that I can't also get in other stores. So that has yet to happen for me. I don't read a whole bunch of esoteric stuff, but the stuff that I've read, I'm always able to find it in the different options.
Yeah. And one of the great things about the Kindle app, just like Audible can sync with Kindle if you've got both versions of the book, is even if you only have the e version of the book, so you've got the ebook, you bought it from the Kindle app, well, it will sync your progress between a physical Kindle and your iPhone and your iPad. So if you left your physical Kindle at home, say, and then you get stuck in a massive queue at, I don't know, say the DMV, because maybe it's secretly being run by sloths. Did I watch Zootropolis recently? Yes. Then, you can always pull out your iPhone. Even if you don't have the Kindle app downloaded, it's not a super big app to download and grab a book, the one that you're already reading, and voila, you can just keep on reading and enjoying your book. This is also really handy for when you, at some point, forget to charge your Kindle and it eventually somehow magically runs out of battery. Those things feel like they run for months at a time and then run out of battery at the most inconvenient moment. But yeah, it's a great option to have.
It does seem to be that way. Oh, page turn animation. For those of you listening and not watching, Kevin has worked in a page turn transition onto our video. Yeah, I have that same problem where the times when I want to pick up my Kindle, then I'm going, oh, great. 2% battery. Great. This is lovely. This is wonderful. Let's see. We should also mention that you can use the Kindle app to store PDFs and other types of content and be able to sync it between your different devices. I used to take articles and push them to my Kindle in order to, read those articles later. So I had some sort of if this, then that setup going where I was able to. And depending on what service you're using, there may be some kind of subscriptions. I, for example, have what's called Kindle Unlimited. And so there are a bunch of titles that are available for me to just get. and read as I want to, because I have a Kindle Unlimited subscription. There are also magazines and news that are in Kindle Unlimited. So USA Today, for example, or Rolling Stone magazine are all available. And so that is one way to kind of augment what you have with a little bit more to go along with it. So yeah, it's well worth checking out if that might be something for you. And I know as well that some folks can get audio or not audiobooks, but textbooks through a digital means as well. So you could end up saving money that way. All right. Anything else that you want to mention in terms of books and learning for back to school?
Yeah, there are two apps that I'd like to give a mention to, including one with kind of a physical attachment that's optional. So first of all, Kobo. Now folks may or may not have heard of Kobo, but if you've kind of thought about getting a Kindle, but you don't like the idea of really kind of having to buy stuff from Amazon and hack stuff to get it to go on as a, as an, if it comes from another source, then you may want to be looking at a Kobo instead, because the Kobo devices are much like the Kindle devices. They're lovely e-ink devices. But you can get books from lots of places, including from Kobo themselves. And Kobo also have a lovely iPhone and iPad app. Don't worry about my low battery. It is plugged in. So I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but I think it's just having a moment. So I can see, just like on the Kindle, it's synced my progress of a book that I picked up to try out. And I can see various eBooks. I can also see and get audiobook samples. Just like the Kindle app, it's worth noting you can't buy eBooks or audiobooks in the Kobo app, because if they were to sell them, because it's a digital purchase, Apple would get 30% of the sale price. So you can only download things that you've already bought, and you'd have to go onto the website to actually buy them. It's the same restriction for everybody. Either they give Apple a cut of the money or you can't purchase it in the app. Audible sort of has an exception, because you purchase credits for Audible and then you can use your credits in the app. So you're not paying money at the time of purchasing the book. Either way, that's a little bit about how that works. One of the reasons why I love having a Kobo is because Kobo has an integration with libraries. And when I say libraries, I'm not just talking about like UK libraries. I'm talking about libraries around the world, because Libby is a great, it's a free app that you can download, and you can probably sign up at your local library and borrow books for free. And when I say books, I'm kind of not really covering it, because there's books, there's audiobooks, there's newspapers, there's magazines, all sorts of things. And if your local library has it, then you can borrow it for free. And sometimes there'll be a bit of a waiting list or something. Even though it's digital, they only get a limited number of copies to loan out. Don't ask me why. It's a whole weird, complicated system. But this is a great way to download and read some books for free, especially if, you know, you find a free sample of something, you're like, seems interesting or it seems helpful, but I'm not sure how interesting or helpful this is really going to be. Check out your local library. Maybe they've got the book for you, and you don't even have to leave your home to make use of their resources. And as a bonus, if you're using your library, they're going to get more funding, and libraries are great. So everyone should use and love their library.
I love that. And especially the last part, that, you know, by doing so, you are helping to make sure that they continue to be funded. That's incredibly important. All righty. I think that's going to cover it for the first segment. We really wanted to talk about ways to use the App Store to get books that you can then use for learning. And these are kind of some of the big options that are out there. There are loads of other third-party options for just displaying PDFs and reading PDFs. But with Apple's own built-in option with Apple Books, kind of starting there and then branching out with, you know, Audible and Kindle from Amazon, Kobo and Libby, those are other ways that you can kind of continue to get what you need in terms of growing your knowledge. Let's move right along to the news segment. I did want to mention because we just had an episode not too long ago where we talked about iTunes movie trailers. It is an app that has long been a great way to see what new movies would be coming out and to watch the trailers for those movies. And my favorite thing was that I didn't have the problem that I've had where if I go to YouTube and I type in a movie title and I type in a trailer, there are five or six different options in the search. And it's the seventh option that's the actual official trailer. And everything before that is just some site trying to game the system and make money on the ads for that video. And now I'm going to sneeze because that's how upset I am, except now it's going away. So now I'm even more upset. Anyway, I liked iTunes movie trailers because I knew I was getting the true official trailer and it was in a delightfully designed app. Unfortunately, it is going away. And so you will start to see the iTunes movie trailer app disappear. And instead, there is going to be a or there is a place in the Apple TV's TV section called Movie and TV Trailers. On every page or every app view or anything where you are looking at the iTunes movie trailers service, you will see a banner, a big old red banner that says Apple TV app is the new home of iTunes movie trailers. So that banner has appeared and you are then kind of, you know, clued into the fact that now the Apple TV app is where you can find movie and TV trailers. I have to say, I saw the writing on the wall for some time now because I remember a number of times where I was trying to install the app on my Apple TV, the iTunes movie trailers app on my Apple TV, and I kept getting this error over and over again. And for the longest time, obnoxiously, the TV would pop up and say that it couldn't install the app. And so we would be watching something. And then in the middle of what we were watching, the show we were watching would pause. And then this little pop-up would come up to say, I can't install iTunes movie trailers. And I tried deleting it. I tried going into the like refunds system and having it removed from like my purchase. It was a nightmare of finally getting it to stop popping up. And that was a while ago. And I thought, if it's, you know, going through all of this, I think people are not paying close attention to it anymore. So I'm not surprised to see it get folded into the Apple TV app.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either, but I am a little disappointed because it's surprisingly difficult to watch a film trailer. If it's a film that hasn't been released yet, then that's really easy to do. But for example, this weekend, I wanted to watch a film with a friend and we were trying to decide between a couple of options. And so we wanted to watch the trailers. And it turns out that like in the Disney Plus app and so on, if a movie is out, there's no way to watch the trailer. They'll give you like a 1 minute promo, which is like a clip from the film, but that's not a trailer. It's not the same. So yeah, it's surprisingly difficult to go and watch those, to actually find them and watch these trailers. So hopefully the TV app, which by the way is not just on Apple TV, it's also on the iPhone and the iPad and the Mac, will actually have all of these trailers available for us.
Yes, which is fantastic. And you're so right. You know, you're thinking about watching something, you're like, I want to see the trailer. And then it's just some strange little promo that would be, it's akin to like when you hover too long on a Netflix title and then it starts playing this little preview thing. Yeah, that's kind of what it reminds me of. So yes, if you're looking for the iTunes movie trailers app, start looking in the Apple TV app instead. The next thing I wanted to mention, so there is a project that has been created called the App Danger Project. And what this is, it's a project aimed at finding apps that exist that may be more dangerous to children. Okay. It's kind of a complicated explanation because these computer scientists have basically looked through reviews in both the Google Play Store and the App Store, and they have found reviews that have mentioned the chance for exploitation of children. And then they look at how often that's coming up. And then they show you, they have logged kind of the apps that have the most instances of that, of those kinds of reviews. The website is available at app-danger.org. And what the idea here is that parents and guardians can go to this page and they can just search for an app. So they find some app on the app store. So let's see, there's an app called Ad Chat, which is it's called Ad Chat Random Chat, and it'll even have links directly to the app. It'll show whether it's coming from the Google Play Store or it's coming from the App Store from Apple. And then it will also talk about reviews. It found 49 reviews, and a significant number of those reviews indicate that the app is unsafe for children. It also shows the selected reviews. For example, too many fake profiles and too many people selling things that I'm not going to mention. I don't like it. Another one that says trying to spam and scam for capital gain. And then there are reviews that I'm not going to read because they very explicitly talk about the things that you would be wanting to have your child avoid. So this is a kind of easy way to kind of look through and pay attention to the apps that your child might have installed on their device, and then see if that app, you can kind of go through and look at the different apps that are there and see if any of those apps are something that should not be perhaps on your child's phone. Now, let me see. I think I just saw one that I... No, that's not it. So there are quite a few apps in there. Sticker Maker Studio. And again, just because an app is on the store, or excuse me, on this site, does not mean that it is dangerous. You need to actually click on the app and learn about it to see if it has issues. So for example, you know, Snapchat is one of the apps, and then it talks about 23 reviews that brought up concerns. So yeah.
And as with all of these things, you know, if you're concerned about the apps that somebody is using on their device, then parental controls and making sure they can only install trusted apps is usually the best place to start, rather than let people install anything and then try and take it away later when it turns out that there's bad stuff in it, because that might be a bit too late. And with many of these apps, it's not necessarily the app itself that's dangerous. It's the other people using the app that are the problem, because it turns out, unfortunately, people are usually the problem here rather than the apps themselves.
Just wanted to make people aware of this study or sort of project that's going on. Again, the website is app-danger.org. All righty. Let us take a quick break before we come back with Shortcuts Corner and the rest of the show. I want to take a moment to tell you about our second sponsor today, which is CashFly. We're bringing you this episode of iOS Today. Since 1999, CashFly has held a track record for high-performing, ultra-reliable content delivery. So they have more than 3,500 clients in more than 80 countries, and organizations consistently choose CashFly for scalability, for reliability, and for unrivaled performance. CashFly's new smart image optimization service is a remarkable solution for enhanced image processing. The service allows dynamic transformation and optimization of your images, ensuring faster loading times, improved user experiences, and reduced bandwidth consumption. Smart image optimization service enables configurable predefined image transformations at specific path prefixes. That sounds a little complicated, right? But it is something anyone who's listening is going, you know, I'm looking for these optimizations to make sure that these sites are loading faster. They're hearing about that and they're going, oh my goodness, I need to have that. You can easily fetch images from designated pages and add watermarks, making customization a breeze. Cachefly developed intelligent logic that allows dynamic interpolation of collected information into transform commands. This means you can insert relevant data like file names, request IPs, or image metadata into the processed images themselves. So that way you can get ready to deliver personalized and engaging visual content effortlessly. With Cachefly, you will get ultra low latency video streaming that will deliver video to more than a million concurrent users. You'll get lightning fast gaming, which will deliver downloads faster with zero lag, glitches, or outages. You'll get mobile content optimization that offers automatic and simple image optimization so your site loads faster on any device. You're also going to get the only CDN that's built for throughput. It delivers rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods and 30% faster than other major CDNs. Plus, flexible month-to-month billing for as long as you need it and discounts for fixed terms once you have settled in and you're happy with your plan. You can design your own contract when you switch to Cachefly. Twit has been using Cachefly for more than a decade, and we wouldn't have it any other way. You can learn how you can get your first month free at cachefly.com. That's cachefly.com. Thanks so much to Cachefly for sponsoring this week's episode of iOS Today. All righty, let us hear the music for Shortcuts Corner. Welcome to Shortcuts Corner, the part of the show where you write in with your shortcuts requests and Rosemary Orchard, the shortcuts expert, provides a response. All right, strap in, buckle up, and sit down. We've got one for you. DC writes in, hello there, Rosemary and Micah. First things first, pet tax. Here are a few photos of Vincent Price, the dog, from when he was a little puppy. He is a boxer mix. So we'll have to see Vincent Price, the puppy dog. Says, yes, he's sticking his tongue out. Shame you can't share live photos in mail. Take a good look at him because he's sailing on a boat and watching a parade. So we'll wait for those.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, little Vincent.
Yeah. So we've got three pictures here, which is great because DC's got a bit of a longer question, but provided a lot of excellent, useful background, which is going to be really helpful to making sure we can actually write a good or create a good answer.
Yes, so cute. So cute. Vincent the Boxer mix. All right, so here we go. I hope this request isn't too niche for others to find helpful. USPS work schedules are a bit weird and difficult to simply get working with my phone's default calendar app. There is an app that displays the schedules, but it doesn't have the means to export the calendar, nor can you make entries to it. This makes it tedious when trying to plan things out beyond a few weeks. The week goes from Saturday through Friday. That part is easy enough. I can set the default calendar app to start on Saturday. The tricky part is the days off rotate by one each week and Sundays are not counted. Though there are carriers who deliver Sundays, we can ignore it since that's a whole other thing. So the schedule goes Monday through Friday 1 week, having the Saturday, the first day of the week off. The following week is Saturday, comma, then Tuesday through Friday, having Monday off. Then it's Saturday, Monday, and then Wednesday through Friday, having Tuesday off. Then it's Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, having Wednesday off. And then it's Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday with Thursday off. Saturday, Monday through Thursday, Friday off. Yes, this is how all USPS schedules look. It's got a pattern to it, so you'd think it shouldn't be too difficult to set up with a calendar app. But I'm just not seeing a simple way to accomplish this other than manually setting it up for 6 weeks and then copy and pasting it ad infinitum. Thank you, lovely people, very much. I look forward to hearing your feedback. So first of all, a little look into the USPS, the United States Postal Service. I did not realize that their schedules were so consistent. That's pretty cool. To have a consistent schedule, even if it means that it's kind of complicated in terms of the calendar. So Yeah. Is there anything, Rosemary, you can do to help?
Yes. So I started by, I created a fabulous, really, really complicated shortcut, which was like, okay, so what week are we in right now? Which is like, do you start with your Saturday off? Or are you starting with Tuesday off and so on? And that went forward. It just kind of input like the next however many weeks you told it to input into your schedule. And I was like, this is great. And I was like, hang on a minute. This is really regular, right? And so really simple. And I was wondering, and this is perhaps not the solution Vincent was looking for, but I'm going to have a look at it anyway. How about six calendar events? Just six, repeating on a six-week schedule. Because if you just put your days off into the calendar, is that going to do the trick? Like, do you need to know what times you're working on the other days? Is that something that's needed in your calendar? So I thought that, you know, let's just start in the calendar with those ones. So if you create a new calendar event, and we just call it day off, then what you can do is under the repeat section, change it to every week. That's one thing. But if you change it to custom and then you set frequency, and then you, instead of saying every 1 week, change it to every 6 weeks. And then you repeat this with your Monday day off, your Tuesday day off, and so on. You push it out by a week each time you create it. Then theoretically, from then on, it's just going to repeat forever. I've just found a bug in iOS 17 because my calendar is starting on a Sunday. And my calendar does not start on Sundays. My calendar starts on Mondays. But I was thinking that might be a good, simple solution because I'm sure a lot of people have got regular patterns for things that they need to input into their calendars. And yeah, this is kind of messy when you have to deal with this kind of life. And, you know, it's probably and hopefully a great job that you're really enjoying, but it does create a bit of a calendaring nightmare. So I've just created this one single event and I'm adding it and then it's here. And then, you know, if I go forward about 6 weeks, it should be somewhere around there, but that's fine. But the other option that you can do is in shortcuts. If you create a shortcut, then you can create multiple calendar events. And the great thing about this is in the calendar app, if you've already got some of these events, then what you can actually do is you can find your calendar events. And so you can use that to calculate when your next day off is, which may be really helpful. Now, I do have a really, really long shortcut, but I'm also a little bit wary of just going, here is a, I believe I counted, it was 82 action shortcut and going through all of that here on the show. But what I will say is a really simple way to, create multiple calendar events on a repeating pattern is to start by actually not with the calendar, asking for input. So say, for example, you have things that repeat. Maybe there's, say, 14 weekly events, and you do this maybe once per semester if you're a student. Well, if we ask for input, and I'll just finish typing that so that it can find it. There we go. And we change that from a text to a date action. Okay, then it's going to give us a date. Okay, you can type in a prompt. Okay, so I'll put, when does this, I'll give a semester. Just because the example that I'll do here is for a semester. And then what I'm going to do, just to give people a very simple option, I am going to add a repeat. And I'm going to assume that you're going to have, I'll just put three weeks in here. And then I'll create a calendar event. And here we go, add new event. And I just need to drag this and put it inside the repeat. Now, one thing I forgot to do, which I'm going to mention here, is I need to set the date to a variable. And I need to use set variable for this for a very specific reason. I'm going to have to adjust this for each calendar event that I create. Okay, so I'm going to call it calendar date. So I know it. Okay, so I'm going to call this week. And then I'm going to insert my repeat index here just to show folks what we're doing. And then I will just pop calendar date in there. And we'll insert calendar date here as well, because it's going to be an all day event. And what we'll just do is make sure that shows all day event and turn off showing the compose sheet. That's really important if you're creating calendars, calendar events in shortcuts. You might want to make sure show compose sheet is turned off if you're creating a lot of events, because otherwise you're going to have to confirm every single one of them that it adds. And that gets old really quickly. And then because we're going to do this over multiple weeks, in DC's case, it would be over days. You'll need to adjust that date. This is why we set it to a variable, because we're going to change that to get the variable date or the calendar date, the one that we set as the variable. And we're going to add, I'll add 1 week to this just to make it easy for folks to understand. And then we're going to set a variable again, and we're going to overwrite it. And that means that, you know, whatever value we had previously is now not going to be there. So next time it goes through the repeat loop, then we are going to have our new date. So I'll call that calendar date. So now, in this case, I'm just going to add 3 1-day events for the start of or for the week in a semester. And so I'll just run this, and it's going to call it week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, and so on. So the only thing I'm going to have to do is input when does the semester start. And I'm going to say that semester starts next week on Monday. So, you know, it might be a term or something in some folks' vocabularies. But either way, it's gone for the 11th of September is the last one, 28th of August, 4th of September, and the 11th of September. So now if I go back into August and I look on the 21st, see, I've got week 1. Week 2. And then if I check here, I've got week 3. And so that's how you can add a lot of calendar events. I have a feeling for DC, and therefore for Vincent, who I'm sure is looking forward to those days off for the extra long walks, a simple 6 calendar events, which repeat each on a 6-week cycle, will probably do the trick. But please do feel free to write back in and ask us for more help if you need to. And I will work on getting that 82 action shortcut that I created this morning slim down to something a little bit less insane that I can explain here and give to folks so that they can try it out themselves if they have a similar problem.
Nice. Yes, it is. It's one of those, you can kind of explain it, and DC explained, I mean, and once you get it, then it makes sense. But it is a complex thing when you start to think about all the moving parts that are involved with it. So I'm not surprised that, you know, it's a little bit involved to make all of that work. All right. Now it is time for a word from our sponsors before we head to our app caps.
Hey there, folks. Get ready for the Backbeat Media Podcast Network, your new go-to place for top-notch podcasting fun. You're an Apple fanboy or fangirl? We've got you covered with the Cultcast, delivering all the iNews you could ever want. More of a literature lover? Bookworm is going to rock your world. Got a thing for theater? Broadway Radio is going to hit you right in the feels, while Mac Geek Gab and MacCast are here to feed all your tech cravings. Punk rock your vibe? You're going to vibe so hard with Jughead's Basement. And for all the dinosaur nerds out there, I know Dino is basically your spirit animal. But hold up, all about that mental health, pop culture, and tech life? Christina Warren and Brett Terpstra are serving up your weekly dose. Love a good flying tale? Fig and Repeat are about to take your imagination to new heights. And hey, to all you small business gurus out there, Dave Hamilton and Shannon Jean are dropping knowledge bombs every week. Backbeat Media Podcast Network, folks, it's where your passions come alive and there's never a dull moment. Hit up backbeatmedia.com and get ready to binge.
And now let's go to our app caps. This, of course, is the part of the show where we place caps atop our heads to honor our app and or gadget picks of the week, the apps and or gadgets we love that we want to share with all of you. And of course, as we are capping the end of the show, we honor them with our caps or hats or head or face wear. And so without further ado, Rosemary, please tell us about the incredible cap atop your head and then tell us about your app or gadget pick of the week.
Well, the cap atop my head, for folks who are watching, you know, you might be thinking immediately Mario. And that's because this is a lovely red. It's a really soft, like padded felt hat with really big eyes. This is actually Cappy from Super Mario Odyssey. And it's just a really nice sort of like peak brimmed hat. The only thing I'll say is it's a tiny bit too tight. So the brim is kind of poking me in the forehead. But it's really cute and it's got really big eyes. And
it's
I love
so
it.
Cute.
And it's very... It's really appropriate because today's app cap for me is an app called AmiBox, because anybody who has Nintendo devices has probably heard of Amiibo, and Amiibo are these little sort of I don't know what to call him. Is it a statue or is it a figurine? Is it a collectible? All of the above. Either way, you can get these lovely, adorable amiibo for your Nintendo devices. And then if you scan them on Nintendo devices in various games, you get bonus stuff. So for example, if I scan Bowser in Zelda, then I often get like food and sometimes I get other really cool stuff as well. Well, wouldn't it be nice to know what different amiibo can give you in different games and things like that? And maybe also, just in case one of these ever went missing, have a sort of virtual backup. Not that it's going to be the same is the actual amiibo, of course. Well, that is where AmiiBox comes in. So this is AmiiBox. And so what I can do in AmiiBox, and it's a free app to download and try out, is I can scan an amiibo. And so you scan an amiibo by sort of touching underneath it and it lost the tag connection. This may be happening because I am running the beta. So I'll just try that again and see. And there we go. This time it worked. And ta-da, I have scanned Bowser. So Bowser has an identifier. It's a figure. I can say that I own it. I can find out when it was released around the world, what game series this is from, and what amiibo series it's in. I can put it, put it on my favorites or a wish list, and then I can see benefits and usage in games. So for example, in Super Mario Party, I can unlock this character, which is Bowser's shiny sticker. In Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I can unlock a character-themed Mii racing suit. Awesome. And there's so many different benefits, and I can see them per platform as well. So it's got Nintendo Switch, Nintendo Wii U, Nintendo 3DS. And yeah, it's just a really nice way to find out more about amiibos and so on, especially if you don't know a lot about them, but also to catalog and note the ones that you do have, which is great. So yeah, now Bowser is in my owned list, and I can actually see all of this information, which is really cool. So yeah, AmiiBox. It is free to download and use. It has a little instructions and FAQ section as well. You can also use this as an opportunity to write out the amiibo NFC to another NFC tag if you wanted to have a backup and you've bought some NFC cards for shortcuts and realize that you've got too many of them floating around. There is also a shop where after you have exhausted the number of free amiibo that you can add in the app, you can then buy credits so that you can have more amiibo. It is $9.99 to have unlimited credits to just have everything in the app. So I don't think that that's hugely expensive, especially considering how adorable these are and that you want to make the most of it, right? And you can only get the benefits from one amiibo per day in various games. So you really want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck if you've got a few amiibo to choose from.
That is so cool. They were very smart. Nintendo was very smart about doing that, the little figurine collectible thing. And I agree that I'm going to spend money on these little things. I want to get as much as I possibly can out of them. On my end, I am, as Kevin has pointed out, sort of rocking the Ken from Barbie look. I am wearing a pink cap to match the pink sweater that I also happen to be wearing at the same time. So it's all pink all day over here. The app that I want to talk about comes from a friend of the show, Casey Liss, who is one of the hosts of the Accidental Tech podcast. And Casey Liss seemed to reach directly into my brain and the brain of many others to understand what the problem is that we had with IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. This is an app that I use regularly, IMDb, because when I'm watching a show and I think I recognize a person, I immediately hop into IMDb and I look up the episode and then I find out, oh, this is what else this person was in. But a few times I've had things spoiled for me. Way too many times I've had ads get in the way or a pop-up that's asking me to create an account or log in get in the way. And what this app aims to do is avoid all of that. The app is called Call Sheet, and it is an app that is like IMDb without all of the annoying IMDb. So let's, we were just talking about Barbie. So right here in the top, I've got the Barbie movie and I can immediately scroll down and see the cast for the film. Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, America Ferrera, Michael Cera, Will Ferrell. I can see the crew for the film. I can view more information, including the parental guidance about the film, the Wikipedia page for the film, the website for the film, where to watch the film. This is provided by Just Watch. Of course, it's not available yet for streaming, so it's not there. And then if I want to, I can view the IMDb page for the kind of reviews of it. It's got a 75% score. I can pin it. I can share it if I want to. And let's just tap on somebody. Let's go actually with Greta Gerwig, who directed and wrote this film. I can see what other films, White Noise, The Ghost and Molly McGee coming out, Isle of Dogs. And then here I can choose more and choose where to watch. And you'll see that here are the places where I can rent the movie, the places I can buy the movie, and the places I can watch it with a subscription. And tapping on it will let me see kind of what I need to do to be able to watch it in that place. So here, if I wanted to rent it on Apple TV, then I could choose that and it will pop me into the Apple TV app and pull up Isle of Dogs, where I could then rent it if I wanted to. So we'll come back and let's do a search for something. I'm going to go with Nailed It, which is a Netflix show, and it is, it's got a score of 72. Look at this. It's got the episodes, the seasons and the episodes. So let's go to season 3. We can see the names of the episodes, the Marvel episode, for example. It has who's in it, Prehistoric Bakes. I can see who is in this one. I can choose to hide the spoilers. And this is what I was talking about. So you can hide cast character names, for example, hide cast episode mm-hmm. counts. You know, perhaps you don't want to know that this person is only in 2 of the 30 episodes that are available because they die in episode 2. Perhaps you don't want to know
the twin.
Or they have an evil twin. You don't want to know the title. Secret Identity. You don't want to know the title of the episode because that could spoil something. Or maybe you just don't want to see the thumbnails. And this is kind of clever. Down at the bottom, it'll show you previews of how it will change the content based on what you choose to hide. So I have all of my spoiler settings turned off, but then I can go through any show. And let's see. Let's go with Breaking Bad. Just because this has a lot of seasons and here's the cast and crew. And once again, you know, you've got your specials, you've got all of your different seasons, and you've got your descriptions. And look, there's a grab of the thumbnail, and the guests on the show, the crew on the show, all of that information is available there. So basically, if you're looking for a way to avoid the annoyances of IMDb, then this is the app for you. You get 20 free searches. After you have eclipsed those 20 free searches, at that point, you will need to pay for the app. It is available for a subscription that's $1 a month or $9 a year. So very well priced, and will give you everything you could need, I think, and then some, while protecting your, risk of spoilage, but also protecting you from the annoyances of constant pop-ups to create an account or log in or do this or do that. So yes, I think that Call Sheet is well worth it. Congratulations, Casey Liss, on the latest app launch from you. It's a great new app. I love the app tile, the app thumbnail, the app icon. That's the word, icon. It's a great icon. All right, folks, with that, we have reached the end of this episode of iOS Today. All that's left is to remind you that if you want to reach out to us, one great way to do that is iostoday@twit.tv. iostoday@twit.tv is the email. You can also reach us in other means. You can tweet at us, Mastodon at us. You can send us messages, but honestly, iOS Today at twit.tv is the best way to get in touch. Now, remember, you don't have to pay the pet tax. That is just an added bonus of A, making your pet a little more famous and making our day as we get to see these adorable pets that you choose to share with us. iOS Today records live every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. So you can tune in on Tuesdays to watch the show live at twit.tv/live, or you can head to twit.tv/iOS if you want to subscribe to the show. We think that's the best way to get the show, because when you do, it will come down to your podcast app of choice whenever it's ready, available, and buttoned up and pretty. You can subscribe to audio or subscribe to video. We try to make it so that the audio and video versions are equally digestible, meaning that if you can't watch, we want to make sure we do describe things that we're talking about on screen. But the video is a lot of fun. You get to see our reactions to things. You get to see the pets, all that kind of stuff. So again, that's at twit.tv/iOS. And now is the time where I mentioned the club. If you would like to get all of our shows ad-free, plus so much more, head to twit.tv/clubtwit and sign up. It starts at $7 a month, $84 a year. I say starting at, it's not an add-on, a tiered subscription. It's just that some people wanted to pay more, so you can, but it starts at $7 a month. You get every single Twit show with no ads. You get access to the Twit Plus bonus feed that has extra content you won't find anywhere else, behind the scenes, before the show, after the show. Special Club Twit events get published there in that feed. So joining now, you're going to get a lot of back content back. Yeah, the stuff that's been there for a long time is all there and available to you. Plus access to the Discord server, a fun place to go to chat with your fellow Club Twit members and also those of us here at Twit, where they are currently posting GIFs of Mario and also the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air wearing a pink hat like I am. Again, available for $7 a month, $84 a year. And it doesn't stop there, folks. When you join Club Twit at twit.tv/clubtwit, you also gain access to some shows that are Club Twit exclusives. There's the Untitled Linux Show, a show all about Linux. There is Paul Thurrott's Hands on Windows program, which is a short format show that covers Windows tips and tricks. There's Hands on Mac from me, Micah Sargent, that covers Apple tips and tricks. And there is the Home Theater Geeks program, newly relaunched in the club, from Scott Wilkinson, where he covers home theater ins and outs and is doing some great interviews with some very special folks, including talking to the big shots at THX regarding spatial audio. So it's well worth checking out. You've got to check out Home Theater Geeks in the Club. Plus, Jason Howell's show that is upcoming. It is a show focused on AI. You definitely are going to want to become a member of the club so you can be part of that show as well. Again, twit.tv/clubtwit. All right, Rosemary Orchard, if folks want to follow you online and check out all the great work you're doing, where should they go to do so?
Well, the best place to go is rosemaryorchard.com, which has links to books, apps, podcasts, places that I am involved in around the internet. Other than that, you can also find me in the Club Twit Discord. I'm often lurking in the iOS Today channel, so feel free to pop in, especially if you're enjoying that back catalog of all of those episodes. And of course, you can also find me on various social media sites, including Mastodon at rosemary@snailedit.social. What about you, Micah?
If you're looking for me online, you can find me at Micah Sargent on many a social media network, or you can head to chihuahua.coffee, chihuahua.coffee, where I've got links to the places I'm most active online. Please be sure to check that out and consider, following me on one of those social media services if you have, comments, questions, concerns, etc. Folks, thank you so much for your time this week. I will not be here next week as I will be at the Podcast Movement in Denver. However, Rosemary Orchard is going to be joined by the wonderful, inimitable Christopher Lawley, who will be here. And I am looking forward to seeing what show Rosemary and he create. But I will be back the week after. In any case, you can definitely tune in next week for another great episode of iOS Today. And we will say goodbye to you for now.
Hey, folks, I'm Matt Pruitt. I have a question for you. How do you think your hardworking team, with a Club Twit corporate subscription plan, of course, show your appreciation and reward your tech team with a subscription to Club Twit? Keep everyone informed and entertained with podcasts covering the latest in tech. With the Club Twitch subscription, they get access to all of our podcasts ad-free. And they also get access to our members-only Discord, access to exclusive outtakes and behind-the-scenes footage and special content like the Fireside Chats that I enjoy hosting. Plus, they also get shows like Hands on Mac, Hands on Windows, and The Untitled Linux Show. So, go to twit.tv/clubtwit and look for corporate plans for complete details.